Within our suffering for Jesus, we should be those who are rejoicing and happy, right? Well, that's not always the case. The reality is we're human beings. We're sinful, we have emotions, and when difficulties come, we can struggle. And we do struggle. And yet, we can have joy in the midst of suffering.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
I'm Dave. Today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Jennifer in New York. She says, the preacher explains everything. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord that his word is going out, and thank you for your encouragement. And again, it's such a blessing to hear from those who are listening. And we are so thankful for your prayers and financial support and your encouragement. So thank you.
Greg, I think it would be safe to say that no one likes difficult circumstances and that no one willfully chooses suffering. But the fact is, we all will face times of suffering and pain.
Yet within those times, how can we endure? How can we make it through those times of suffering? Well, that's what we're going to begin to look at today. So turn with us in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 19 through 21.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you have realized that following Jesus in this world is not always easy. That there are sufferings, that there are difficulties, that there are persecutions, that there are trials. Certainly we have difficulties and trials that are related to just the fact we live in a sin-cursed world, and there are sinners around us, including ourselves. That certainly lends to that. Everyone, believer and non-believer, experiences that. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you desire to do his will, you desire to follow him, you do the right thing, you're going to be, as Jesus would say, persecuted. He said, a slave is not greater than his master. You're going to be maybe misunderstood, persecuted, slandered, whatever it might be. We know that following Jesus, within that, there is difficulty. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart or take courage. I have overcome the world. Well, within our suffering for Jesus, we should be those who are rejoicing and happy, right? Well, that's not always the case. The reality is we're human beings. We're sinful, we have emotions, and when difficulties come, we can struggle, and we do struggle. And yet, we can have joy in the midst of suffering. And today, we're going to take a look at the Apostle Paul's words from Philippians chapter 1, where we're going to learn by his response to suffering. So, would you turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 to 21. This is part of a larger section, so we're just picking it out. So, I'll read through later on the entire passage. So, keep that in mind. But it's a passage in which we have a wonderful verse that is a life verse of many. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's a wonderful verse to have as a life verse, but so often we don't know that verse in its context. When Paul said that, what was going on? Why did he say that? And we're going to see that today. We're going to see the beginning of why he said that. So with this in mind, again, in Philippians chapter 1, I want to share the context of this book. The Apostle Paul, we see in Acts 16, the founding of the Philippian church, 52 AD, about 20 years after Pentecost, the Apostle Paul has obediently been led to Philippi. He has shared Christ with Lydia at the river. He has suffered and been beaten and thrown in jail, but praising and singing hymns, praise to God and praying, and God delivered him. And from that, the Philippian jailer's heart was pierced. What must I do to be saved? And Paul declares, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then he shares the word with him and his household and they are saved. And you have the nucleus of a church, the Philippian church. And within that, we see that the Philippian church and Paul, 10 years now have gone by. They're very close. They were the only church later on, we see in chapter 4, to support Paul at certain times. They cared for the Apostle Paul. They didn't doubt his authority. In the beginning of the book, he doesn't have to say the Apostle Paul. He's making it clear he's a bondservant of Christ and writing to the saints who are in Philippi. The reality is they loved him and he loved them. And they were very concerned about him because he was in jail. He was under house arrest in Rome, and they were concerned. They had sent Epaphroditus to tend to his needs and to send a message to him. And he had come back and almost died, and they were concerned about that. We'll see that later on in chapter 2. But they were close to him. Now within this, we see in the beginning, and I hope you were encouraged if you've been with us so far, that we saw the Apostle Paul was caused to rejoice in his heart every time he thought of the Philippians. Do you have believers in your life when you think about them, it causes you to have joy? I'll tell you, that's true for me. Sometimes I don't have joy as a shepherd. I think of people and I go, oh, Lord, this is a burden. Help me to see them rightly. Help me to help them. And other people, I think, wow, praise you, Lord God. They're following you. They're a blessing. Or even if they're struggling, they want to do the right thing. They're people who are humble before you, and I'm thankful for that. And the Apostle Paul was thankful for these Philippians. He was thankful for God's past work in them. And he was confident that God would complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He was confident. And he prayed for them that their love in Christ would superabound in real knowledge and all discernment. That they would be able thus by the Spirit of God to make right choices which would glorify God. Tremendous, wonderful prayer. And then last week we saw the Apostle Paul began his actual correspondence in this letter to this beloved Philippian church, in which we're going to review in a moment. So with that in mind, let's take a look at our passage. And I'm going to reread what we had read earlier, but I'm going to reread this from verses 12 through our passage, because it is really one part of the whole section we're looking at. And although we looked at 12 through 18 last week, we're going to review that just briefly before we get to our passage. So let's start again back in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Philippians. Now I want you to know, my brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, and I will rejoice. And now we have our passage. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now and as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Again, a tremendous passage, and it continues on, and we'll look next time. We're just going to hit that portion in 21 a little bit today, and we'll continue on next week to see the rest of the context of that. But as we look at it, we need to recognize, again, that we as believers, when we follow Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer at times. We're going to suffer for doing the right thing. We're going to suffer for making the right choices that maybe only the Lord knows in that context. We're going to be misunderstood, whatever it might be. And again, a servant is not greater than his master. We see what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the point at the end where he was crucified for obeying God's predetermined plan to be delivered up and to die for our sins. So how can we have true joy in the midst of suffering? How can you be joyful when things are not going good? How could you be joyful if you were imprisoned for the cause of Christ? How could one be joyful in that situation? I'm not saying we don't have sorrows. We do have sorrows. But Christians are the only ones who can have sorrows and be weeping over things and also be rejoicing in the Lord. How can that happen? Well, today we're going to learn from Paul's response to suffering and how we can have thus true joy in the midst of suffering. Now, we need to remember what we saw last week, and we're going to look at this first, that we need to recognize suffering is a platform that God will use for the gospel. If we understand that, we can rejoice. If we understand that God uses our difficulties as a platform to share Christ, then we can have joy in what's going on in our lives. because I know something fantastic is coming from it, what God is doing through it. I can recognize that maybe those who meant it for evil, God meant it for good, and I got to see it and think rightly, and it changes my mindset towards that, and I then rejoice. Remember what we saw? The Apostle Paul was chained to a Roman guard 24/7. You can hear the CD from last week. I'll just kind of skip over it quickly, but it was because of his obedience to Christ to sharing the gospel. Verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brethren," he's speaking to believers, saints, that is, "that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress," or pioneering progress, "of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ." He's going to talk about what happens with that, but he's been imprisoned for the cause of Christ. The Apostle Paul is in chains because he has been proclaiming Christ, and he is in chains for that. And if you remember, we saw last week that quite possibly the Philippians, who loved him dearly, were concerned about him, concerned about his situation, so much so they had sent Epaphroditus to minister to his needs. And certainly you can think about what we might think in a situation like that. Has the ministry of what Paul is doing, is it ceased now? Is it on hold because he's in jail? Is the gospel going out anymore? It seems like this is not a good thing that's happening to Paul. And the Apostle Paul wants to share how his difficult circumstances have brought about amazing, wonderful results. "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." This is quite an amazing statement. The Roman Empire was the empire of the world, of the known world at this time. And Paul is in Rome, and the Praetorian Guard were the emperor's personal elite bodyguards. There were several thousands of them, and they were stationed at his royal residences. And as we're going to see, the Apostle Paul was certainly close to Caesar's household, because there were those in Caesar's household who came to faith, by the way. It's an amazing statement. Paul's chains have brought about the knowledge of Christ throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. Obviously, he's been sharing Christ, having been chained to these soldiers, and the word is getting around. "Why have you been arrested, little Jewish man?" "Well, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about Jesus," right? And I'm sure he shared, and we know he did, because people came to faith. And so within that, we see that there were many, and the whole Praetorian Guard had heard of Christ. And then he says, even here, "everyone else." Now, that's possibly relating to Caesar's household, because in chapter 4, he says in 4:22, "all the saints greet you, especially those who belong to Caesar's household." What a tremendous reality. There were those in the household of Caesar who came to faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul's chains, what one might think is hindering the ministry, that one might even say, as we might see later on, that, wow, Paul must have sinned because he's in chains. Well, is it really hindering the ministry? Not at all. God has used it for this pioneering advance of what? The gospel. And what is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ, that God the Son, the Messiah King, took on human flesh, and that he died for our sins. We are sinners. And that he was buried and he rose from the dead. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We are sinners in need of a Savior. You don't want to die in your sins. If you die in your sins, you will pay the penalty for your own sins forever in punishment. But Jesus Christ died for us, bearing our sins in his body. And he rose from the dead. His death was accepted by the Father. And he paid the full price. And if you're willing to humble yourself and turn and believe in God who became a human being and died for your sins and rose from the dead, you will be saved. And there were many in Rome who had come to faith because Paul was preaching the gospel. But he was suffering. But his suffering turned out for good because he had the right perspective. He wasn't there saying, "Oh, this is terrible." He wasn't. He was obviously, as we saw back with the Philippians, praising the Lord and sharing the gospel. So first of all, we need to recognize that God uses things in our lives as a platform for us to give the reason why we have hope. To give the reason why we have hope, to share the truth of Christ, if you're following Christ, if he is your life. the Israelites. And so we got to renew our minds in everything that goes wrong, even to the point of imprisonment, which is pretty bad, by the way. I don't think any one of you are imprisoned right now, but yet maybe you've been imprisoned by difficulty, something that God has allowed to come upon you, by someone sinning against you, whatever it might be. You are chained to these things, some type of a physical issue, whatever it might be. You're imprisoned by it, but God is not one that will not use it. He is one who will use it for his glory if you're willing to see it rightly. And if you see it wrongly, as we do, confess and renew your mind. And then last week we saw not only were Caesar's household saved, there was a tremendous outpouring of confidence within believers to share Christ also. Look at verse 14. And most of the brethren trusting in the Lord, we saw last week that really is not the word usually translated for faith or trusting. It's a different word. Most of the brethren persuaded, in a sense, in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more encouragement to speak the word of God without fear. They've been encouraged. They have encouragement now to speak God's word fearlessly. They see what God has done in Paul's life and the tremendous results of the gospel, and they have far more courage now to speak without fear. And indeed, we are a fearful people, aren't we? We think about the need for Christ to be shared, and we say, have a crusade, right? We want someone else to do it, right? Because we don't want to go at times and speak to those around us the truth of Christ because we're afraid of how they might respond. But yet, when we see what God does through these things and what he does when he is in charge, when he is doing things, it gives us courage to speak the word of God fearlessly when he opens those doors. Tremendous, wonderful results. And even Paul could rejoice. There were some who were trying to cause difficulty for him in his imprisonment. Some believers had wrong motives and they were trying to hurt Paul. We're going to see that. Look at verse 15. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from, it's kind of the exception, even from envy and strife. Envy, oh, Paul's. They envy him. Never envy people in ministry, by the way. It's deadly. Don't do that. Don't envy pastors. I wish I could preach like him for the wrong reasons. No, I wish God be glorified with the gifts he's given me, right? We're all different parts, you know, hands, eyes, you know, thumbs, toes, right? God has deemed what he desires for each person. Don't be envious. And it just causes strife. And we saw that word meant rivalry. Rivalry. There was competition. So they were. These people were doing that out of that. But some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love. They love the Lord and they love Paul, knowing, he says, that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Hey, they know the real reason why I'm in prison. They're not saying I'm in here because of sin. They know I've been appointed for the defense of the gospel. And that's what's going to happen before Caesar. The former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition, rather from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Wow, not good, right? But notice what Paul says. Now remember, they were not preaching a false gospel. They were preaching a right gospel, or Paul would have condemned them immediately like he did in Galatians and other passages, or like he does even in Philippians chapter 3. This was a correct gospel. It was right. So Paul says, what then, verse 18, only that in every way, whether in pretense, that means a false facade of why you're doing something, by the way, or in truth, he says, Christ is proclaimed and Christ is preached, right? And then he says, in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. You see, when you see what Christ is doing in the midst of difficulty, it brings joy. If Christ is most important to you. When those whom you love are benefiting, right? We want to see that, right? We want to see those who we love benefit, right? When Christ, whom we loved, is being glorified, that should cause you joy. But it won't cause you joy if it's all about me, myself, and I, because Christ isn't anywhere nearby. But when Christ is being glorified because of even the difficult things that come in your life, then we have joy. And the Lord is gracious. He knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. He is mindful that we struggle. He is mindful that we are tempted. And he is gracious. Turn to him if you are struggling. Turn to him if you have the wrong viewpoints. And confess that. And he will strengthen you. He will establish you. He will build you up. He will encourage you. And you will have joy in the midst of the difficulties that you have. Because Christ will open the doors for his word. Okay, so how can we have joy in the midst of suffering? As we have seen, God uses suffering as a platform for the gospel and the fearless speaking of Christ. Now, secondly, we get into our passage today where we're going to see when we know that God is magnified in our suffering, we will have joy. When we know God, the person of Jesus Christ, is exalted in our suffering, we will have joy. When he is magnified, we're going to see later on, the term means to make large. You see, we want to make ourselves large, right? It's all about us in our minds. But he wants to be magnified, not only in our hearts, but throughout his creation, as we're going to see. So notice what Paul says, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance, that through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now and always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So then Paul rejoiced, first of all, in the tremendous progress of the gospel through his chains and the empowerment of others to speak fearlessly and bold the word of God, even those who did it with the wrong motives. He rejoiced in that. And then look at here. He's going to explain something. Notice what he says here in verse 19. He says, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance. For I know. Now this for is referring back to what he has just said. He's explaining what he has just said. He is referring back to what he has just mentioned. He's been talking about the fact that he is rejoicing in the context of what God is doing in his sufferings. He's rejoicing. In this, I rejoice. In this. So he says, for I know something, that this shall turn out for my deliverance. He knows something. And in Greek, the tense is something where he's known it already and he still knows it. It is solidified in his mind. He's known it and he knows it now. Well, what does he know? He says that this shall turn out for my deliverance. Now, what is he talking about? There are two questions that arise from this that will help us understand this passage. First of all, what does the this that Paul knows refer to? I know that this will turn out. Well, what is this, right? And then secondly, what does he mean by the term deliverance? Well, I believe, first of all, the term this probably refers to the circumstances surrounding his imprisonment that he rejoices about. I know that this, what has happened to me and the results, will turn out for my deliverance. Those things I rejoice in, this will turn out for my deliverance.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, how do we begin to see our difficulties as an opportunity for honoring Christ rather than something to be avoided?
You know, Dave, we must shift our focus off of ourselves and our problems and on to Christ. So how do we do that? First of all, we need to confess sin. Then we need to renew our minds with His Word. We need to see things from God's perspective and reject and repudiate our own perspective when it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And it's only through the Word of God that we will see God's perspective on the circumstances that He allows in our lives. As you read and meditate on God's Word, your heart will be renewed and your mind will see things rightly. And friends, this is a continual day in and day out process. Study God's Word. Listen to sermons. Make every effort to be in the Bible studies at your church.
absorb and treasure His word in your heart. Then you will be able to count it joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete and lacking in nothing.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.